Dreamt I today the dream of yesternight, sleep ever feigning one evolving theme, of my two lives, which should I call the dream? George Santayana, Sonnet 5, 1896. Part 1. Janie. Chapter 1. November 11th, 1925. I disembarked a train at the little log depot at Gordon Bay, Oregon, and a sudden force, a charging bull, immediately slammed me to the ground. Rain pelted my cheeks, my hair, and my clothing, and for a moment I just lay there on the concrete in front of the passenger car, stunned, panting, drenched. Once I gathered my wits enough to realize that gale force winds and not a bull were to blame, I rolled onto my hands and knees and pushed myself to my feet. Another blast of cold air smacked me in the face, and the burgundy wool cloche I bought when I first signed on with the Department of Education shot off my head. The poor hat sailed into the distance without ever touching the ground, a stain of red swallowed up by a palette of gray. My short hair slapped at my cheeks and stung my eyes. The train whistle shrieked through the commotion of the storm, and the porter shut the door behind me. He may have asked if I was all right. He might have been the reason that my bags now sat 3 feet away from me on the platform. But the wind and the rain howled across the air and drowned all voices and sense. My only link to civilization on the other side of the mountains clacked away down the tracks to the south. I grabbed the handles of my traveling bags and used the 100 pounds of dresses and toiletries packed inside to anchor myself against the winds. I then lifted the luggage, as well as my black leather briefcase, and staggered to the shelter of the depot's overhang, but not without skidding to my left as the gales continued to bully me. The soles of my galoshes squeaked and slid against concrete. The town of Gordon Bay itself seemed to be fighting to spit me back out. Somehow, I lumbered over to the safety of a wall and secured myself against the sturdy logs with my bags still in hand. Despite the woolen gloves shielding my hands, my fingers ached down to the marrow of my bones from the bitter cold, and even worse, from the dampness. Oh, my Lord, that infamous Oregon November dampness. 3 times worse on the coast than what I experienced in Portland. Rainwater streamed down my face, iced my cheeks, and smeared my lips with the briny taste of the nearby Pacific. I closed my eyes, buried my face against the wall, and endured the wind screaming past my ears. I believe I may have cried a little. I know I swore profusely at all of the PhD students, mostly male, of course, who had gotten themselves accepted into toasty, cozy universities, while I was doomed to roam the far reaches of the earth with a briefcase full of intelligence tests. My renowned fearlessness in working with students categorized as delinquent or frightening failed to transfer into bravery against the elements.
"Miss Lind?"
called a man's voice from a distance that sounded to be the opposite end of a tunnel. Another gust of wind whacked me in the back and pressed my chest against the logs. Rain blew sideways and soaked my shins through the cream-colored stockings that my coat didn't quite cover.
"Miss Lind?"
asked the voice again, this time a tad closer. I raised my head and saw a man in his late 20s or so pushing his way toward me through the storm. He wore a midnight black coat and a gray fedora, the latter of which sprang off his head and flew into the distance, the same fate as my cloche. His exposed hair, blonde, trimmed short in the back with longer strands in the front, fluttered about like rippling blades of grass, but within a mere matter of seconds, the rain slicked every lock flat against his scalp.
"Are you Miss Lind?"
he called, pulling his coat farther around himself, bending forward to plow through the tempest. I nodded. "Yes."
"Welcome to Gordon Bay,"
he said, and he smiled. His eyes, either blue or green, smiled too, and a little dimple appeared above the right side of his mouth and made him look about 10 years old, even though he stood close to 6 feet tall. Rain poured down his face and caused his lashes to stick together.
Here,
he offered his right hand.
"Let me help you with your bags."
"Thank you," I shouted into the wind. "But I think I might need to carry them to keep from blowing away. The storm already knocked me to the ground once."
"That's our friendly coastal weather for you."
He put a hand to my back and helped to coax me away from the log wall. I didn't even realize I needed any coaxing until I took my first step and found my heart racing.
"Come along," he said. "I'll help you."
I felt like a toddler, learning how to walk again, my steps heavy and ungainly, my torso tipped forward while my backside stuck out behind me. I wore eye makeup and suddenly realized that ghoulish dark lines probably streaked my face.